Psalm chapter 55 this morning, if you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 55. And we'll be reading four verses of Psalm chapter 55, verses 16 through 19. And I'll start with verse 16 and read verse 16 and 18. If you'll join with me on verses 17 and 19 of Psalm chapter 55. If you found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Psalm chapter 55 and beginning verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading this morning. As we read from your book, we thank you so much for the Bible that we can hold in our hands. Lord, thank you so much for the King James Bible you gave us. Lord, I pray you bless the special, prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, again, be with the speaker as he preaches. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
As sure as this world is turning, I owe my all to Him. He gave up His life, the ultimate price, for this man who was guilty as sin. So I'll live the rest of my days in the shadow. Down, I want to be found devoted, no matter the cost. I want to be that man found faithful when it's all said and done, giving my all for the sake of the call, for the Savior who is second to none. May the truth that holds my heart be the strength that lets me stand. If anyone builds his life around Jesus, I want to be that man. As long as there's time to harvest, I want to do my part. I surrender my will, may His Spirit fill every corner and space of my heart. So I'll hold to His nail-scarred hand, giving glory to the Lamb. Every day of my life, may I live what is right and serve Him with all that I am. I want to be that man found faithful when it's all said and done, giving my all for the sake of the call, for the Savior who is second to none. May the truth that holds my heart be the strength that lets me stand. If anyone builds his life around Jesus, I want to be that man. If there's a man who will walk unashamed, whose life will not be in vain, I want to be that man, found faithful when it's all said and done, giving my all for the sake of the call, for the Savior who is second to none. May the truth that holds my heart be the strength that lets me stand. If anyone builds his life around Jesus, I want to be that man. If anyone builds his life around Jesus, I want to be that man.
Do that. And then we'll pray. I want you to look at verse number 19. Look at the last phrase of verse number 19, where David wrote, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Look at that before. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of how to handle change. How to handle change. And let's pray together. We'll ask God's blessing on the message. Lord, it is good to be back in the pulpit. We're glad for guest speakers when they come our way. And certainly the message has challenged our hearts these last several services. But I'm privileged and thankful for the honor of preaching this morning. And I pray that you'll use me, please, like a carpenter would use a tool out of his pouch. I pray, God, that in your hands I'll be the vessel that you want and need to be a blessing this morning to your people. Thank you for everybody gathered here today. Speak to our hearts. May we go home blessed and helped because we came to church this morning. Already my heart's been blessed. And I pray, Lord, this will just add to everything that's been said and done so far in Christ's name. And amen. I've said this before, that one of the fascinating things about the book of Psalms is the way God allows us to look into the heart of the man who was called the man after God's own heart. Because many of the Psalms were penned by David. And God marked David with the words, a man after mine own heart. That was said a couple of times about him in the Scriptures. Now, in the Psalms that he wrote, we are allowed to learn about and understand his very innermost thoughts and his feelings and choices that made David who he was. We are allowed to see his soul, if you will. Allowed to look into his soul. The soul being made up of the mind and the heart, the will. Where a person thinks, how a person feels, and the choices that a person makes. That's all involved in the soul of man. Now, it's very interesting because while David was a strong young man, and you know that's true, he was a strong young man. He had great leadership capabilities. He was courageous. He was a great soldier. At the same time, he battled fear and he battled insecurity and he battled loneliness. And at times he was in turmoil in his soul because of different circumstances that were going on in his life. And God didn't hold anything back. It's like God pulled back the curtain into the soul of the man that was the man after his own heart and let us see some remarkable things about David that it's an unbelievable that God would do that for us in the book of Psalms. Now, this psalm was written during one of those critical times in the life of David, probably when he had to flee the throne because of his son Absalom's rebellion. And you can sense the inner turmoil he was experiencing in verses 4 through 8. We're a tad bit late getting into the preaching part of the service, so I was going to read all those verses. Just mark them, circle them, verses 4 through 8. Look at what he says in verse number 5. Fearfulness and trembling are upon me, are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. I don't know about you, but to know that that's how the man who was after God's own heart felt is great encouragement, greatly encouraging to me. It really is. You say misery loves company. Call it what you want. All right? But that's encouraging to me. That's a great soldier. This courageous man with leadership capabilities could experience that kind of turmoil in his heart. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. He talks about he asked God to defeat his enemies in verse number 9. I won't take time to read it. He is especially appalled that his friend Ahithophel, his counselor, had abandoned him for Absalom. And you can read about this in the book of 2 Samuel. And this really, really hurt David. He talks about that in verse 12 and verse 13 and verse number 14. In verse 15, he expresses his humanity as far as how he feels about his enemies. Look at what he says. Let death seize upon them. and let them go down quick into hell. You say, my goodness, that's awful. Come on, folks, don't put your halo on this morning. You know you felt the same way about people. Maybe you didn't harbor it, but those kind of thoughts cross through our brains because we're so depraved and wicked. Come on. Absolutely. So God just opening up the curtain here lets us look into David. I mean, just see remarkable things. Then in verses 16 and following that we read with Brother Bragg a moment ago, he establishes the course of action he's going to take in these circumstances. He's going to call upon God, he says in verse 16. He has great confidence that the Lord will help him. And in verse number 17, he even has a structure of how he's going to pray. I'm going to pray at evening and morning and at noon. So three times a day, I'm going to pray specifically concerning this situation. By the way, not a bad pattern to follow. Not a bad pattern to follow when you really, really need something from God. Establish it evening, morning, and noon. A time when your watch goes off. A time when you know you'll be conscious of the time. And it will remind you to call upon God. And by the way, in the service tonight, I'm so excited about what we're going to do tonight in the service. So don't miss tonight at 6:30 along these lines. But it's evening and morning and at noon will I pray. In verse number 18, he remembers that God has already delivered him in battle. He kind of reflects on victories that God's already given him. In verse number 19, he is convinced that God will hear and God's hand will be moved against his enemies because God is not dead. Amen. That's what he says, Selah. And then he says this. He makes an incredible statement. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He's talking about Absalom. He's talking about that crowd that followed Absalom. Because up until this point, everything was going good for them. Absalom rebelled against his dad. Ahithophel and many others switched their allegiance and loyalties from following David to following Absalom. And guess what, folks? When they did that, nothing happened. There was no change in how they were living. They did not lose their health. They did not lose their income. They did not lose their security. There was no loss of success. There was no loss of prosperity. No. Everything continued just the same after they switched their loyalties and allegiance from following David to Absalom. Nothing changed. You know what that created in them? A false sense of security. You know, I have... Actually, their idea is, you know, well, look, man, what we've done is not wrong because, look, nothing's happened. I haven't lost my job. I haven't lost my health. Look at this. Nothing. Everything is just the same. You know, I have actually heard that from people who take a step away from a level of commitment or dedication to God. That very sentiment sometimes is expressed as justification that they were right. Well, man, nothing's happened. I got no loss of job. I got no loss of health. I got no loss of income. I got no loss of security. My house hasn't burned down. So because there have been no changes, my decision, my course of action is justified. Are you with me this morning? And that's what he's saying about this crowd here. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Now here is a truth, people, of Scripture that we need to take note of this morning. Change usually makes us mindful of God. No changes can sometimes lull us into a sense of false security. Hey, I'm okay because nothing has changed in my circumstances. I'm doing real good. There's some money in the bank. The cars are running well. The house is okay. You know, I've got a job. I've got some income. Everybody's healthy. And there's this kind of false sense of security because there are no changes. By the way, when you sense this sometimes when you witness to lost people. Why do I need God? Man, I got a job. I got three cars. I got a three-car garage. Look at my income. Look at everybody's healthy. Why do I need God? And you know what? That's exactly what no change does to us. It lulls us into a sense of apathy. But how many times, soul winners, have you knocked on a door and somebody comes to the door and looks in there, boy, they're kind of, they're just, you know, they're there, and boy, you bring up you visit with them a little bit, and then you bring up the matter of heaven and eternity and where you're going to spend all eternity. And you know what they say? The other day I was at work. I've had this said to me. You've had this said if you were a soul winner. The other day I was at work and one of my coworkers didn't come to work the next morning and died in his sleep last night. Or my grandmother passed away. Or I lost my job. Or, you know, my wife has cancer. Or my husband is sick, and they don't know what's wrong with him. And all of a sudden, to watch it, all of a sudden this change in their little nest has made them insecure. This little change in the nest has made them a little bit less sure of themselves. And boy, sometimes they're really anxious to talk to you about heaven and salvation and the plan of salvation and the gospel because they've had a change come in their lives. On the other hand, no problems, no difficulties, no burdens, no sorrows, no issues. Why do I need God? That's what David is saying. Because they have no changes, therefore, they fear not God. Now, the same thing happens to God's peoples. Difficulties cause us to think more seriously about our relationship to God. Changes in our circumstances snap us out of apathy and into a sharp consciousness about our relationship to God. On the other hand, no issues, no problems, no difficulties, no upsetting of the apple cart, no change in circumstances that are prosperous and doing okay leads us into a sense of apathy. I'm okay. Look at this. Everything is just fine. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Sometimes change in our circumstances, you know, seems to be against us. And that's what Job said in Job chapter 10, verse 17. Here's what he said. Changes and war are against me. Now, that's how Job felt. Changes are against me. And remember what kind of change he's experienced? He's lost his health. He's lost his possessions. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his kids are gone. So his apple cart has been completely turned upside down. In fact, he referred to his life this way. Before the trouble came into his life, he said, I shall die in my nest. It was comfortable. It was wonderful. And Job had this sense of security as long as everything was going good. But man, here came change and turned his little nest upside down. And Job said, changes and war are against me. But I want to say something to a friend this morning. Listen carefully. Change that is of God is always designed for good. Even change that hurts is designed for good. And that's what Job had to learn. He had to learn that all this change that took place in his life, yes, it hurt him. You wouldn't be normal if you didn't hurt over the loss of 10 kids. You wouldn't be normal if you didn't hurt over the loss of all of your vocation, your career, your 401k, your savings, everything that you'd worked for all your life. That's exactly what Job had in those camels and donkeys and oxen and sheep. And he lost it all. We wouldn't be normal if that didn't hurt a little bit. But God, even though the change may hurt, the change will not harm us. It is designed for our good. And Job learned this. And in chapter 42, verse 5, he said, at the very end of the whole process, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And even though the change hurt Job, the change did not harm Job. It was designed for his good. Now, all that to say this, God has brought change into the lives of people here in our church over the last several months. I'm not, without naming names, just situations have taken place. The losing of a spouse of many, 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 many years. That's a big change. The loss of health. For some. The change in job or work security for others. And when I think about change, I think about, of course, Brother Caleb and the change in ministry and what that will mean for him and Emily and David and Joshua and little Cherith. And the kids are young enough that, you know, it's just going to be a big thing for them, you know, to go where Grandma and Grandpa are and others. But, boy, the change that's in store for Caleb and Emily. And Brother Caleb, you'll be excited, but you'll miss walking out on this platform and being in these services. And then the change that will take place for all of us as this family moves away from Illinois up to Minnesota to take the pastor of that church up there. Change. Change. You know, I wouldn't even try this morning to convince you that watching this family leave us doesn't hurt a little bit. Me. Boy, it hurts. I hate to think about it. But friend, the truth of the matter is, change often snaps us back into the realization of how much we need God. And we kind of get in this little pattern of life that is, you know, it's motoring along, and God is using it and God is blessing it. And you know, we're doing good. We're just there. And then all of a sudden, this humongous change. And God said, David said, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. And sometimes, friend, God brings change in our life just to snap us back into the realization of how much we need Him. And like Job, sometimes we feel like the change is against us. It may hurt, but it is never designed to harm. It's designed to help us. In some way, God will help us through the change. Now, what do you do when change comes? Because that's the title of the sermon. How to handle change. What do you do when change comes? What do you do when you lose your health? What do you do when you bury a spouse of 50-something years? What do you do when physical problems set in? What do you do? What do you do when you change geographical locations from a place where you've lived for 8 years? What do you do when the job says don't come back to work on Monday? What happens? What do you do? But I want you to look at verse number 22. And this is what we need to see this morning. And I love this verse. I love right toward the end of this chapter, after he talks about all this difficulty and this fear and this turmoil and this trembling and this horror and his enemies. And he comes all the way down all these things. He comes all the way down to verse number 22 and he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, friend, you know what I like about verse number 22? Is that second word in that verse. Thy. Thy. For me, that's mine. And for you, that's what? Yours. That's your burden. That is specific. That is unique. Thy burden. This is talking about the burden that God has brought into our lives or laid upon us. Sometimes that burden caused by change. Change in circumstances physically. Change in circumstances monetarily. Change in circumstances geographically. Change in circumstances with death. I mean, this change, this burden that God has brought into my life, the burden that God has brought into your life, it is specific. It is unique to us. And even though it may be similar to what someone else's burden is like, it's still specific to us. Nobody feels the loss of Jack Lewis like Dorothy does. Nobody. I still miss Jack. Absolutely. You don't see a man like that for 20-something years, and then before my time here, and now he's not in these services, and you just, forget about him. No, absolutely not. But nobody feels that like she does. It's thy burden. It's a specific burden. It's the one that God has brought into her life. The one that God brings into my life is different. The one that God brings into your life is different. Now, here is what we must do. We must take the burden that God has given to us and give it back to Him. His wisdom cast it on us. It is our wisdom to cast it on Him. But now, wait a minute. He does not promise to remove the burden. How do you remove the burden of the loss of a spouse? Don't change that. I don't care if a person gets remarried. Like my father-in-law married Marilyn after Nellie's death. He still
cries over Nellie. That's not removed. How do you remove, how can you remove a change of address involving your ministry? You can't remove that. God brings that burden, that change into Caleb and Emily's life, and brings that change of address, that change of where they live. And so they run back to the Lord with it, but God doesn't remove it. He doesn't remove it. He doesn't take it back from us, but He does make two promises about the burden. And this is what's key. First of all, here's one promise. He will allocate strength for us. Look at verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and what does it say? He shall sustain thee. The one who ordained the burden will also ordain the strength to bear it. And you know what is so helpful about this, folks? If God gave it, He knows exactly how heavy it is. He knows exactly how heavy it is. And if God brought the burden, if God put the burden, if God brings that change into life, it becomes a burden in some way, shape, or form. God brings that into life. God knows how exactly how heavy that burden is, and He knows exactly how much strength we're going to need to carry it. God is not going to give us 50-pound strength to carry a 100-pound burden. He won't do that. God gives us a 100-pound burden, and He will give us a 100-pound strength to carry it. That's why I've been saying a couple of weeks here now, trust Him, trust Him, trust Him, trust Him, trust Him. Well, I don't see, I know. That's why it's called trust. Well, I don't know, I understand. That's why it's called trust. If we knew, if we understood, if we could see, we wouldn't need to trust. Trust Him. Trust Him. If what has been brought into your life, some kind of change has snapped you back into reality about your relationship with God and kind of upset the apple cart of your life to show you how much you really need God, understand, friend, He will allocate, take that burden and run back to God. He's not going to remove it, but if you will, in essence, cast it upon Him, He is going to give you strength to carry that burden. He said He would. That's a promise of God. And He's the one that designed it. He knows how heavy it is. And He will not shortchange us when it comes to strength. Number one, He will allocate strength for us. Number two, He will not allow us to be overcome. Look at what He said in verse number 22. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That word suffer means allow or permit. You know what I picture in my mind when I read that part right there, that verse? I picture in my mind a tall tree, a tall oak tree or something like that. And I picture in my mind a strong storm. And I picture that tree and those limbs back and forth. And we've had some wind this summer, haven't we? And back and forth and back and forth, that tree and those limbs, they just bend and bend and they shake and they shake and they shake in the wind and they bend and the storms, if you will, come and blow that tree, but that tree never is uprooted. It's not moved. You go out in the next morning, it's in the same place it was when you went to bed. It's in that same place. And that's what God is talking about here. If we will learn to take the burden that God cast on us and cast it back on Him, it does not mean that God is going to remove it, but it means that He'll allocate strength for us to carry it, and He will not allow the storm of that burden, even though it may toss us and howl around us, God will never permit the burden to move us, to topple us, to capsize us, to overcome us. He stands firm who stands in God. And that's what I'm saying this morning. When change comes into your life, for whatever reason, man, run back to God with it. Here it is, Brother Caleb. You know, look, if I can be God for just a moment, let you be. Here's the burden that God comes along and God says to Caleb Hansen, I got a church for you and I want you to pastor it. And it's up in Rochester. It's your home church and there are needy people up there and they need a pastor and that's what I have designed for you. He didn't seek for this. He didn't ask for it. He didn't go looking
But that's the burden that God brought on him. That's the change. Tell me, Brother Caleb, if that kind of change doesn't make you even more aware of God than you were before. I'll promise you, if he has said anything in prayer these last two or three weeks, it's, I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. That's part of what change is good for us. I need you. Now, what are you going to do with that burden? Well, David said, what you need to do is cast it to the Lord. And I'm not going to take it. You're going to Minnesota. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you strength to carry it. And I know exactly how heavy that burden is. And so because I know how exactly heavy that burden is, I know exactly how much strength to give you. You know what's wonderful about God? He doesn't cut you 1 pound short. He doesn't give you a 50-pound load and then say, here's 49 pounds of grace to carry it. No. He says, let's see. I know how heavy that is. In fact, I designed this. I designed this from eternity past. You had no idea. But I know this. I know it perfectly. Here you go. And I'm going to give you exactly that much strength to carry. And brother, when the storms howl and blow, you just stand in me. You won't be moved. And friend, that's not, thank you, Brother Caleb. That's not only true about a change in address of ministry. That's true about every change that God brings into our life. I think about our elderly. We have more elderly now than we've had ever. That's just attrition. When I say elderly, I'm talking 70s and 80s and beyond in some cases. And I think about you folks. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to embarrass or make her feel uncomfortable. When I come in here on Wednesday night and Dorothy's sitting in her place this past Wednesday, the tears are coming down her cheeks and she says, it's very lonesome. My heart aches. My heart aches. And you precious elderly folks, sometimes, you know, the mind says do and the body just can't. Or vice versa. And it's a change. And it's nothing you ever planned on. How many times have I visited with a widow or a widower after the spouse has died? And here, inevitably, here is what they say. I always thought what? I would go first. I always thought I would go first. God doesn't always design it the way we think it is going to be designed. God brings changes into life, and brings things into our life. The loss of a loved one or the change of a job, or a man walked in this morning and said, pray for my son. He doesn't worry. His son was just here not too long ago visiting, passing through, and said, pray for my son. This past Monday, he lost his job. He was just here. Just here. And he lost his job. And boy, these changes that come into life, these changes that just kind of upset the apple cart, these changes that shake us, and changes that stir us, and some changes that we don't enjoy carrying or bearing. God says, look, He said, I've not designed that change to hurt you, harm you. It may hurt you a little bit, but in the end, I have designed it to help you. And I know it's a heavy burden, but if you'll just bring it to me, cast it back to me, and I'll give you exactly, exactly the strength you need to carry that. Exactly. And no matter what you're facing, that's how you have to begin the day. And there are people who wake up and they don't know what a day may bring forth. And they wonder to themselves, how will I get through this day? Carrying the burden that God has put on my heart. Put in my lap. How? And all you can do, friend, is just trust Him. As thy days, so shall what? Thy strength. What He said. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. That's why that song has been on my heart this week. Every joy or trial falleth from above. Boy, the words of that song. Did you notice the words of that verse?
Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. They who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. I'm talking to people this morning, and at some point in the last 12 months, or maybe less than that, 6 months, some great change has been brought into your life. Maybe it was a sudden change, or maybe it's been a developing change over the past weeks or months, and now you're right in the middle of it, and it's a burden, it's heavy, and God has cast it upon you, and you're carrying it and struggling with it. And what do I do? What do I do? Run to God. And cast it all on Him. And God's not going to reach down and carry it for you, but He's going to give you exactly what you need to carry it. And when it's all said and done, you may shake a little bit, you may bend and bow from side to side, but he who stands in God stands firm and will not be moved. Will not be moved. How to handle change? Just run to God with it. Run to God with it. I'm not talking about change that's self-inflicted. I'm not talking about change that's self-inflicted. Although, tell you what, God's a pretty merciful God. And even sometimes when change is self-inflicted, if we run to Him, He'll answer. Check out Jonah. Check out Jonah. I'm just encouraging us this morning, church. Look, how do you handle change? We're all going to go through a change here. When this young man's not sitting on this platform in a couple of Sundays, that's going to be a change for us. Yeah, you know it is. That's going to be a change for them. And there are other changes that have taken place. But God said this, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. And like Job, you may feel that all this is against me. Changes and war are against me. It's not. It may hurt, but it will never harm. It's designed for help. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you for listening and paying attention. And I wonder this morning who might say, before we have the invitation here, one who might say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning through something that was said. Maybe I'm aware of a change that's taking place for you. Maybe I'm not, but the Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Spirit knows. He designed part of this message for you this morning. Brother Terry, Brother Angel, pray for me. I really, really am going through a situation where I really need to trust Him and run to Him and help me. I want to ask Him to help me do that. Pray for me this morning before you close in prayer. Would you do that? Would you raise your hand? I will. I'll pray for you if you mean that. God bless you. Amen. 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 I appreciate it. Thank you so very much. May I take your hands down? No matter what it may be, maybe physical, it may be loneliness, it may be financial. I don't know. Brother Angel, include me in your closing prayer. I really need to take this back to God. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand? You should have said, I should have raised my hand. Yes, I see. God bless you. And you. Amen. Somebody else? Yes. Who's here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'm on my way to heaven. There came a day when I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. I'm saved and I know it. You can say that this morning. Would you raise your hand, please, wherever you're sitting, just as a testimony to God's saving grace. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here this morning would say, I am not sure. I am not certain. In fact, I don't have any idea where I'm going to spend eternity. Pray for me, Pastor Angel. I don't know if it's heaven or hell for me. I don't know what it is. But if there's an eternal destiny, I'd like to know that it's heaven. And there is, friend, and you can know. The Scripture says you can. You say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Just slip it up. I'll pray for you when I close here in just a moment. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Front to back, side to side, upstairs. Anybody like that, member or visitor, not sure that I'm saved. Not sure. You're not sure that you're saved this morning? When the music begins to play in just a little bit, you can step out in the aisle and come. And so one of these men here, and they can give you somebody who will take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe there's somebody here who would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized in obedience to Christ since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Raise your hand and pray for you. Not been baptized since I've been saved. Anybody like that? A young child's hand? God bless you. As the Lord leads you and your parents, you follow the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you love us. And you love us enough sometimes to bring changes into our lives. And Lord, sometimes changes just take place by nature. The natural change that takes place sometimes in our lives. As we grow older, as our spouses grow older. Father, these changes are not against us. They may hurt us a little bit, but they're never designed to harm us. They're always designed to help us. God, I pray that we would run back to You with the changes and throw them in Your lap. And Lord, You won't remove them from us, but You will give us enough strength to carry them. You'll help us not to be moved. You'll help us not to be changed through the change. So Lord, be with, I pray, our people today. Strengthen everyone that raised a hand this morning, their specific need, that specific burden. And thank You for being so specific about it in Your Scripture. And I pray for any today who are lost and unsaved, that the Spirit of God might draw them to Christ. And those that need to be obedient in baptism, bless them as well. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. And while we stand, I'm going to ask the ladies to begin to play. You ought to come this morning and obey the Lord Jesus. If God spoke to your heart during the message, you raised a hand. Said, pray for me. I need to run back to God with this thing. Why don't you come today? And it's not completed here at the altar. No. No, it's not completed. But it is started. This is where it begins. A humbling. A God, I need You. While we wait this morning. Oh, the blessed thing about God giving us the burden is He knows how heavy it is. And in His goodness, He never puts anything on us that He won't give us the strength to carry. He knows exactly how much we need. While they play, you come this morning. If you're not saved, I'd invite you to come. Let somebody show you how to trust Christ as your Savior. Come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You obey the Lord. Do what's right. He'll bless you, Lord.